1230 WSO. It's 8:32 now on your Thursday morning, and we're on the phone with Lisa Tetzloff. She's a nurse practitioner at War Memorial Hospital. Good morning, Lisa. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
Great. Thanks for asking. We're talking about genetics testing, and I was mentioning to you on the phone before we went on that our family found out some interesting information through genetics testing at War Memorial Hospital. Our daughter has that double MTHFR gene, and we had never heard of it before. Her OBGYN suggested that she get tested for it because of some of the symptoms that she had, and sure enough, she went through that testing and found out that she did have that. But I guess the thing is that a lot of people, when they think of genetics testing, all they think of is that test that you can find out, you know, where you were born or things like that. Is this mm-hmm. similar to that? Is it a kind of a similar test, but just looking for different things?
Well, there's all different types of genetic testing. Like you mentioned with the MTHFR, mm-hmm. that can be helpful sometimes with, you know, when women are struggling with getting pregnant and stuff like that, because it has to do with folic acid absorption. Mm-hmm. But there's different types of genetic testing. There's prenatal genetic testing to see if a baby might have any kind of genetic issues after they're born. There's pharmacogenic testing. Some people may have heard of, like, the GeneSight test that helps us tell us what type of medications you might benefit from as far as, like, depression medications and stuff mm-hmm. like that. Sometimes that can be helpful. But the type of genetic testing that I focus in is a type of what they call predictive testing, and it's specific to hereditary cancers.
Okay.
So it looks at your DNA to help us tell if you might have a change in one of your genes that might increase your risk of one or more types of cancers.
Okay, so is this testing fairly new? I mean, we've heard of, you know, in my lifetime, it seems like genetic research has really grown quite rapidly here recently. Is this more recent health stuff that you are able to utilize?
It's not super new. You know, it's been around for a couple decades, actually.
Okay.
I think the first genes identified were called the BRCA genes, or BRCA1 and BRCA2, that are linked to mostly breast cancer, ovarian cancer, sometimes prostate and pancreatic cancer, and even melanoma. And those have been around since the early 2000s. But really just recently they've discovered a lot more genes are available to be tested that could explain some cancers in families.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, there's actually been a lot more access available to them. They've just recently changed the guidelines so that a lot more people meet criteria for the genetic testing than what they used to.
So what would an initial genetic test involve as far as somebody coming in and think, okay, how would they go about getting to you to get tested genetically for cancer?
So typically what it involves, most often people are referred to me by their primary care provider, sometimes by an oncologist if they are somebody that's already been diagnosed with cancer and they're trying to determine the course of treatment and if their families might be at risk. But most often it's from their primary care provider, and so that gets sent to me if their primary care provider looks at their family history and deems that they might benefit from genetic testing. So they come see me, and it's about an hour visit for an initial visit. It does take quite some time. We go through all the education and counseling so the patient has a really good understanding of what we're there for and, you know, what it might mean for them and what are some of the possible outcomes. And then we review all of their family history. So I do something called a pedigree, which is, if you look at, it looks like the little boxes that shows all the family members.
Mm-hmm.
And we look at all the family members specific to cancers. That helps me to determine for sure if they meet the criteria for genetic testing, because it won't be covered by insurance if they don't meet that criteria.
Right.
I also do something called a Tyrocusic score for all my women that have never been affected by breast cancer themselves. And that's something, it's considered a breast cancer estimate, risk estimate. So it helps us understand where their risk might be at as far as familial risk, personal risk of getting breast cancer. And then I order the test. It's ordered at an outside lab. I do use a couple different labs, depending on what we're looking for. And then the patient will sign a consent, and we obtain the sample that's going to get sent out. Typically, I do a blood draw. Mm-hmm. That's what the labs prefer. If we can't get a blood draw, we can do a saliva sample or what's called a buccal swab, which is the cheek. We mm-hmm. swab the cheek.
So so would a person, like if they knew that they had cancer in their history, like a family history, like if they had lung cancer, parents had died of lung cancer, or a family member history of like maybe grandma and my mom both had breast cancer. Are those the people that kind of raise their hand and say, you know, geez, you know, we've got this history here. Is this something that we should do? Are those the people that would benefit the most from this? Or would other people just, you know, are curious? You want to say, boy, I want to make sure I don't have cancer or whatever. I'm not going to get cancer in the future. How would people get to the point where they know that they want to get genetic tested? So
there are certain types of cancers that are considered more hereditary than others, such as ovarian cancer or pancreatic cancer. Those are ones that kind of red flag for, yes, you should have this done. Mm-hmm. Whereas like lung cancer, bladder cancer, those are more often caused by some type of exposure,
Okay. Smoking,
asbestos, mm-hmm. Other exposure types where they tend not to be hereditary. So it depends on the types of the cancers in the family. And when we go back to that meeting criteria part, there's specific criteria that allow you to meet testing so that your insurance would cover it.
Mm-hmm.
There is the ability to do something called a proactive test. We can do that for anybody. If it's somebody, like you said, that's just like, I just really want to know. There's not really a lot of cancer in my family, but I just want to know.
Right.
We can do a proactive test. Which costs $250 out of pocket, but it is an option.
So I would assume then if somebody has one of those cancers that in their family history or whatever that is more genetically transmitted than you said, environmentally, I would assume the earlier they find out and get tested, do the genetic testing, the better, right?
Yes, well, sort of. I mean, we don't usually test children unless Right. There's a known genetic mutation in the family because we don't really start management changes before then. But yes, we start testing at 18.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, if you find that you might be at increased risk, we can be more proactive and preventative mm-hmm. to hopefully either A, reduce or eliminate your risk of getting cancer altogether, or B, increase your surveillance. So like your screenings, your colonoscopies, skin cancer screenings. There's for women that are high risk for breast cancer, we often do an MRI of the breast in addition to their mammogram. There's even pancreatic cancer surveillance. So there's a lot of things that we can do that can hopefully help us find things at a really early treatable stage, because we know with cancer, early detection is really key.
And so once, a test comes back and yes, you are predisposed to one of these cancers, then treatment can be started and they can come up with some type of a regimen that would help with treating that cancer?
Yeah, there's specific guidelines. So we follow the guidelines that tell us how to manage that risk. So it depends on what type of cancer you're at increased risk for.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's many things that we can do to help be more proactive and preventative. It is often used for people that have already been diagnosed with cancer. It can help to guide their management as well as help to know if their family might be at increased risk as well.
We're talking to Lisa Tetzloff. She's a nurse practitioner at War Memorial Hospital about genetics testing, and specifically about the genetics testing with cancer. So you mentioned that people have to meet a pre-screening thing to determine whether their insurance is going to cover it. Do most insurances, if they meet that criteria, cover the testing?
Yes. Because it's considered a preventative service, it falls kind of under the category of like your wellness exams
Okay. Or
your vaccines, where it's considered a preventative test. And most private insurances will cover it as a one-time preventative service.
Mm-hmm.
Other types of healthcare insurances like Medicare, Medicaid, UPHP, they have a program in place where typically those patients won't pay anything.
So if somebody felt that they wanted to get this test, I guess the first thing what they would do is maybe talk with their primary care physician or whatever to say, gee, is this an option for me?
Yeah. And a lot of primary care providers are now actually screening at every wellness visit to see if their patients do meet the criteria or might benefit from genetic testing. But if they're not screened, that's definitely something that they could bring up with their provider and say, hey, you know, I heard about this hereditary cancer genetic testing. I think I might be a good candidate for that. I think I might want to do that. Can you send me a referral to Lisa Tetzloff? And that would be, I'm sure they would be fine with that.
Hmm. Are you doing a lot of these tests here at War Memorial Hospital?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine that this would be a great tool in the toolbox, you know, as far as you know, determining a people's risk for cancer or whatever. And, you know, and like you say, the early detection is great and a great way to get people screened and in and maybe get some treatment and everything if they're going to determine that they're going to need that down the road. So,
yeah.
Anything else, Lisa? Anything else? Like I say, again, if people want to find out more, talk to their primary care physician and see if they can get referred to your office, right?
Yeah, I think that just about covers it. Those were some great questions, Mark.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. So, well, and some fantastic answers and some great information about
thank
one of the great services that's offered at War Memorial Hospital. Lisa Tetzloff joining us here this morning on 1230 WSO. Thanks so much, Lisa. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.